have you here today. We're in Exodus chapter 5. Here, I'm gonna share something with you today. I'm just going to poke Satan in the eye today, if that's all right. Because what I'm going to share with you is this. I hear a lot of people, not only in this church, but throughout Christianity, that are singing that song that we were singing, and they're genuinely passionate about what they're saying. God, I want more of you. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be transformed into what God wants me to be. I want to have everything God said I could have. I want a genuine experience. I'm not talking about churchianity. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about showing up on Sunday and not feeling anything and not being changed. I'm talking about having real people have a real encounter with a real God. And there are people who are genuinely desiring that, but they find that it's sometimes difficult. They don't understand why the person beside them is getting their prayers answered and getting in the presence of God and getting healed and getting blessed. And they say, where's mine? Why am I not drawing closer? Why don't I feel the way they feel? Why don't I hear God speaking to me the way he speaks to others? And I want to tell you, friends, the problem is not really with you. The problem is in understanding what is blocking your blessing. And what I want to show you is from the example of the Exodus. Now, I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows the Exodus. What the Exodus is captured in that wonderful movie, The Ten Commandments. It is Moses getting a word from God, and God said, hey, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. But it's more than Jewish history. It is just like the communion we took, it's a physical picture of a spiritual truth. God's people were in a place of bondage. He wanted to take them to a place of blessing. He wanted to take them not only where they would be blessed physically and spiritually and emotionally, he wanted to take them to a place where they could reside among him and encounter the presence of God. And that's exactly what God wants to do for us today. What took place in the physical is now a spiritual truth that we are walking this thing out spiritually with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But the truths still remain. What I'm going to show you today are the five things that are going to keep you out of your blessing. I'm going to show you the five ways that Pharaoh did everything he could to keep the people of God in their bondage. Now you say, well, bless God, I can just tune this out because I'm saved. I'm not talking about being saved. Notice what God said. He said, let my people go. He already owned them. I'm talking to saved people. I'm talking to people whose names are written in heaven, who are on their way to glory, but have some issues in their life, have some problems in their life, have some things they can't overcome, have some things that they can't get through, have some problems that they don't understand, have some prayers that haven't been answered. That's who I'm talking to today. I want to show you. And unless you are blessed in the glorious presence of God day in and day out, I'll guarantee you that one of these five things are affecting your life. So I want to show you exactly what it is that the enemy's throwing at you. Because as Paul says later in the New Testament, I'm not ignorant of Satan's schemes. If you know the tricks that he's throwing, then you know how to avoid them. You know how to overcome them. Are you ready for this journey?
Amen.
All right, this half is. I'm just going to grab you all and drag you with us, all right? Exodus chapter 5. Can I ask you to stand? I'm going to read a lot of scripture today, but I'm just going to ask you to stand for this first reading out of honor to God. His word is living and powerful. So in the book of Exodus, I'm going to open up with Exodus chapter 5, we're going to read verses 6 through 13. I'm going to read from the New American Standard. Moses has just received the word, and he showed up for the first time and told Pharaoh, hey, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Here's the response. So the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, you are no longer to give the people straw to make brick as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of bricks which they were making previously, you shall not impose on them. You are not to reduce any of it, because they are lazy. Therefore they cry out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let the labor be heavier on the men, and let them work at it, so they will pay no attention to false words. So the taskmasters of the people and their foremen went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I am not going to give you any straw. You go and get straw for yourselves wherever you can find it, but none of your labor will be reduced. So the people scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters pressed them, saying, complete your work quota, your daily amount, just as when you had straw. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, today. Father, for the blessings that have already taken place, for the grace that is already taking place inside each person's heart. But today, God, we also ask for this blessing. Open our ears to hear your word. Add to your word your blessing, that we may have victory today. And I thank you, God, that you are showing us how to come out of a place of bondage, whatever it is, physical, spiritual, emotional, marital, financial, whatever it is that is keeping us bound, you're getting us out of a place of bondage and taking us to a place of blessing. Let it be according to your word. And we give you praise for this in Jesus' precious name. And the church said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God one more hand clap of praise. Amen. 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 As you're seated, look at your neighbor and say, get ready. So the word of God comes to a people of God, who have been struggling in a place of bondage. And today there are people who are in bondage to many things. Some are in bondage to addiction. Some are in bondage to greed. Some are in bondage to bitterness. Some are in bondage to unforgiveness. Some of us are just in bondage to the ways of the world. We're trying to find happiness. We're trying to get ahead. We're trying to be happy. We're trying to provide for our family. And it's just a constant cycle of disappointment and difficulty. There are some who are slaving away at work. There are some who are working hard to keep a fragile marriage intact. There are those who are trying diligently to be a good mom or a good dad. When the word of God comes to the people living in Egypt, it is declaring to them that God is ready to break their chains of bondage, to deliver them from a place that they may dwell in the blessing of God. I have no doubt that as soon as they heard that, it consumed their every thought. Imagine what it would be like to have the blessing replace the burden, when joy would replace sorrow. They heard a word that said, hey, I've got what you're looking for. I've got your answer. But before they break free, before the promise comes to pass, Pharaoh arises. And when Pharaoh arises, he is angry because Moses has declared the word of the Lord, let my people go. I want you to know you can't believe in the Jesus of the Bible and not believe in the Satan of the Bible. Amen. And as soon as the word of God was declared over your life that said, let my people go, your Pharaoh got mad. Your Pharaoh is not willing to give you up too easily. And just like it was in Exodus 5, the first thing he's going to do is make your situation get a whole lot worse. Notice what Pharaoh did. He said, let my people go. Are you kidding me? Here's what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to tell you that you got to work and you got to produce just as much as you've been producing, but I'm not going to provide you any straw. In other words, I'm going to make it more difficult for ends to meet. You still got to make ends meet. Anybody know how that feels? Just when you think you're getting ahead, it seems like the bottom falls out. You still have bills to pay. You still have mouths to feed. The Israelites had turned their attention to God when he gave the promise. But now something remarkable happens. Instead of looking for God, they begin looking for straw. Because what Satan's, I'm already hearing people grumbling, oh man, I'm already stepping on some toes here. Because you know what happened? As soon as you started looking for God, all of a sudden everything went nuts in your life. Amen. Can I get a testimony? Anybody amen that? All of a sudden, your boss wanted twice as much work, or you had to do the work of somebody so who took your promotion, or your kid started failing school and you had to work harder to get a tutor or to study with them, or your pipes burst in your house and now you got to go fix that, or all of a sudden you got a leak in your roof, or your car blew up, or your tires popped. Or I mean, come on, we got it all, right? You end up in the hospital and your insurance won't cover it. And now you're out of work, and you don't have Aflac, and that little duck's laughing at you.
Come on.
Just when you seem to be getting ahead, all of a sudden it seems like hell and high water is hitting you. It's not a coincidence. It's Satan's first attempt to get your eyes off of God.
Come on now.
Because if you say, you know what, I want to do something for the Lord, but I've got to focus on, I got bills to pay. If he can get your eyes off God and make you look for straw, he's already won half the battle.
Amen, amen.
Don't think for a moment what you're going through is not a trick of the enemy.
Amen.
We start looking for straw, whatever it is to get us through another day. Whew. A few dollars to get us through, a way to ease the pain. Some will turn in this time and they'll try to find comfort in a bottle or a needle. Some will seek pleasure in the arms of another. Some will sink deeper into depression. Some will work harder and not take time to find God. They're just trying to survive. They don't know any better. They're just trying to eke out an existence. Find some measure of pleasure. Listen to what Pharaoh said again. He said, let the labor be heavier on the men. Let them work at it so they will pay no attention to these words.
Amen.
Come on, who am I talking to today? Somebody knows exactly what I'm saying.
Right.
I want you to know today, even though Satan has turned up the heat, even though everything seems to be falling apart around you, I want you to know you still have a promise. You still have a word from God. Just because things are getting darker in your life, just because things are more challenging, doesn't mean the promise of God is not true. It actually means you can bet that that promise is true.
Amen.
Because your enemy is fighting you harder. Amen. Go ahead and give God praise if you believe that. And here's what I encourage you to do. Don't go seeking that straw to make it through another day. God has something better for you. You trust God to provide you the straw that you need. You keep your eyes on God. This battle won't last forever and you're going to come out. Your home is going to be in order. Your circumstances will change. Your joy will return. Your healing will be complete. And your family will walk in blessing and not curses. You focus on the word and the promise of God and keep your eyes upon Him. Tell your neighbor, my future is in God's hands. Hey, my future might look grim, but I'm still in His hands.
Amen.
I might be sick, but I'm still in His hands. I might be tired, but I'm still in His hands. I might be hurt, but I'm still in His hands. I might be weak, I might be different, I might be battered, I might be confused, but I'm still in His hands today.
Amen.
Come on, church. You might be struggling. You might be waiting. You might be wrong. You might be poor, you might be down, but you are still in His hands today. Even if you're scarred, even if you're wounded, even if you've been shaken. Whew. Don't count me out because I'm still in His hands. Don't dig my grave because I'm still in His hands. Don't say to me that it's over because I'm still in His hands. Don't give up on me. I'm still in His hands. And don't stop praying. Because I'm still in His hands. And I can do much in the hands of God. Let me tell you, God has the ability to call things that are not as though they were. He steps out onto nothing, and with a word, He can create everything. He'll open doors that no man can shut. Get your eyes off the ground. Get your eyes focused on God, and let Him give you the promise that you've been waiting for. If you believe it, give God praise today. I don't serve a God of good enough. I serve a God of more than enough.
Amen.
And God's going to bring us through. Whew. I just want to say a prayer real quick. If that's you today, I encourage you. You know, if that's you, if you say, you know what? I'm hungry for God and the devil has just hit me on every side. He's taking the wind out of my sails. He's doing everything he can. And now that you've said that, I realize I'm looking everywhere except where I was originally looking. I understand now. The word says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. And you know what? I've been looking around for straw. I've been looking around for solutions, for ways to get by, ways to get through. I got it. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to say a prayer over you today. Father, I thank you, God, today. By standing up, I believe, God, that they are counting themselves among the people of God who say, Lord, I'm ready to go into a place of blessing. Therefore, God, we commit to you today that we're getting our eyes off the ground. We're going to quit looking for straw that's laying around. We're going to focus on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Just like that wall banner says in the Proverbs as it's quoting, I'm going to trust the Lord with all my heart, lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways I will acknowledge him, and you will direct my paths. God, you already know the plan of the enemy, what he's trying to do to defeat me, what he's trying to do to divert me. But God, I'm counting on you. I'm going to follow you as you lead. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus as their shepherd. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would cancel every plan of the enemy that is afflicting them, that is affecting them. Lord, I pray in accordance with your word that you would encamp your angels about them, Father. Let the enemy have no effect on them in this season. Let them instead, Father, be able to progress fully into the blessing and the promise of God for your glory and as a testimony of the truth of your word in Jesus' precious name. And the church said, amen, amen. Let it be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, don't get ready for lunch yet. I'm only 1/5 of the way through. Because a whole lot of you were still seated. You know why? Because you've been through that. You got the victory on that. All right. Well, let's see what happens next. Because what happens next is we get to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. Now, as you're turning there, let me tell you that the 10 plagues of Egypt are beginning. You see, here's what's happening. You might not realize it, but when the devil fights to keep you in his camp, God starts unleashing things on the enemy. You might not realize it because the people of Israel, the people of God, didn't have to deal with the plagues initially. It was just the enemy. What am I saying? God's fighting on your behalf, whether you know it or not. You might not see it. It's like a wave in the ocean. You'd be standing there on that shore. You can't see it coming, but deep down below, beneath the surface where it's unseen, there is power coming your way. There is something at work already where God is dealing with. There's plagues that are pouring out. And we come to Exodus chapter 8 in verse 25. It says, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, it is not right to do so, for we would be sacrificing the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. If we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, then will they not stone us? I want you to notice what Pharaoh is saying here. He had added to their burden initially, and it didn't stop the people of God. They still demanded, let us go to our place of blessing. So he said, all right, well, here's what you can do. If you want to worship your God, you can go ahead and worship your God here. In Egypt. Go ahead and fasten your safety belt. And if you aren't at least 58 inches tall, I would recommend you not get on this ride. Here's what Pharaoh said. You want to worship your God? Go ahead. You want to go to church? I don't care if you go to church. I just don't want you to be the church. You go ahead and worship your God as long as you reside in your place of bondage. Go ahead and go to church. Just don't give up your addictions. Go ahead and go to church. Just don't give up your habits. Go ahead and give your Sunday to God. Go ahead and go worship your God. Just don't bother with that forgiveness stuff and all that love stuff he's talking about. Don't worry about that sanctification, that getting transformed and all that. You can worship God all you want as long as you stay in your place of bondage.
Come on now.
Oh, my God in heaven. Oh. Satan doesn't care if you shout as long as you don't have the victory. He doesn't care if you can quote scripture as long as you have no spiritual fruit.
Amen.
He doesn't care if you sing and dance as long as you don't have the power of God.
Come on.
Here's what Satan knows. You can't encounter the real living God as long as you're living in a land of bondage.
Amen.
And Moses knew it too. He said, look, we can have church all we want in Egypt, and it ain't going to do us any good. Because you can't encounter the real living God if you're still living in your bondage. Man, it's getting quiet in here. Woo! There are many who will continue to live in the place of bondage, continue to live in willful sin. They may worship God in time of need. They may worship God every Sunday. They may love God, but can't understand why they're not drawing any closer to God. I'm preaching better than you're shouting right now. They don't understand why God is not doing for them what he does for others. And the reason is you can't encounter God while you live in a place of bondage.
Amen.
Don't take my word for it. It's in the scriptures. Without holiness, no man will see God. What fellowship has light with darkness? What communion has righteousness with lawlessness? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. If you want to stand with God, you've got to leave your Egypt. You must let God set you free of your addiction, your bitterness, your greed, your lust, whatever it is that's keeping you back from God. Whatever has enslaved you. That thing right now that you're saying, I don't see why I have to give that up. That's the thing that's got you. Moses is a man of God. He tells Pharaoh, no deal. We cannot encounter God living in a place of bondage. I'm going to ask you, I'm willing to pray for somebody here today. Someone who's bold enough to shame the devil in the house of God and say, you know what, God? I'm done playing with sin. Your word has gone forth. I want more of you, which means there's got to be less of me. And this thing you've been convicting me of, I know it's not good. I know it's not right. I don't want it in my life anymore. I want to come out of that. I don't want to be in bondage to that thing. I don't want to be wrapped up by that thing anymore. I don't want to be under its control. I want to be under yours, God. I want to be in your blessing. If that's you, you say, well, I'm too embarrassed to stand up. Who cares about the person beside you? They probably need to stand up too. Because there ain't a one of us that ain't dealing with something. So I'm going to encourage you. If that's you today, go ahead and stand up. If you want to come to this altar, come on up. Because we're going to get set free today. Father, in Jesus' name, those who are saying, yes, God, I bring it to you. Lord, no more, no more am I going to have fellowship with darkness. I am not going to call that which is evil good. I am not going to make excuses. Only you can excuse sin. I'm not going to justify it. I'm not going to make it right in my mind. God, this is what I say to you today. I am not able to encounter you while I live in a place of bondage. Therefore, I step out in Jesus' name. Lord, I have taken communion. I have received the body of Christ into me. Now I pray in Jesus' name for all of those who stand here today. Transform each and every one that are standing on their feet, that are saying, yes, Lord, you know the thing that is in me. I don't want it. I don't want it anymore. It's behind me. So, Father, I'm not asking them to have willpower because that's going to fail. I'm not asking them to have this avoid them for the rest of their life because that's inevitable. Lord, I'm asking this, transform their hearts and their minds in Jesus' name. Lord, According to Romans 12, let them be transformed by the renewing of their mind, that they may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God in their life, that they may encounter you in fullness. Lord, knowing today that they are telling Pharaoh, no more, I'm not going to worship God in the land of Egypt. I'm heading to higher ground. I'm heading to the blessing of God. Let it be according to your word and for your glory. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen, amen, amen. That's a reason for a high five right there. Praise God. Done in Jesus' name. Glory. We're trying to get some victory today. I want to tell you right now, that's what it takes. It just takes someone being honest with God and honest with themselves and saying, this is where I'm at, God. You say, man, you're going to lay out the five things. Show us what the victory is. I'm telling you what the victory is. The victory is identifying and saying, no, that's what Moses did. Yeah. So what does Pharaoh do next? Continuing in Exodus 8. Moses says to Pharaoh, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he will command us. I'm not going to stay in Egypt. I'm going to go where God told me to go and do this. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Intercede for me. Pray for me, he said. You know what Pharaoh's just saying there? I'm going to mess with somebody right now. He said, okay. You're not going to stay in the land of bondage? That's fine. Go ahead and make some changes. Just don't make big changes. Oh, am I messing with some business here or what? Go ahead and get a little better. Make a few changes. You don't want to do that drinking anymore. You don't want to do that smoking. You don't want to kick your dog anymore. Okay, okay. Here's what ends up happening. Here's what this third step is. Your Pharaoh will say, go ahead and make some changes, especially those that are external, that are obvious. He said, go ahead and go a little ways away. It'll be obvious that you're out. It'll be obvious that you've made progression. Just don't go too far.
Come on.
He'll say, go ahead and make the outward changes of religion. Just don't worry about anything on the inside. Go ahead and make the outward changes so you're cleaned up and you're looking better and people can see a difference. Don't worry about that stuff that's on the inside of you that's destroying you. In Hebrews chapter 12, it puts it this way. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. You know, many times we want to cast aside the weights that are obvious, the ones that we see that are doing damage, the ones that are unbecoming, undesirable. We want to get rid of those quick. But then there are those other ones that nobody else sees, nobody else knows. Hey, your pastor might not know about them. Your spouse might not know about them. But you do. And Pharaoh says, it's okay. Go ahead and go make some change. Just don't make too much. Just go a little ways out. Whew. That was not good enough for Moses. God had told them to go to Horeb. Let me tell you something. If you only go for a little bit of change, you ain't going to make the distance. Why did Moses say no? Because they had to go to Horeb. That's where the presence of God was. There are many churches, there are many Christians today, countless Christians today, who believe God, who seek the blessing of God, who expect the blessings of God, but have never known God. They've never experienced His power, His character, His presence. They've never heard Him speak to them. And the reason is, they've come out of Egypt and they've got a little bit of change, but they're not going the distance.
Amen.
Come on. They're keeping one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. With one hand, they're holding on to the place of bondage, and with the other hand, they're reaching for the things of God. My God. I'm here to tell you, friends,
They could not encounter God unless they went the distance.
Amen.
And that little thing that you're holding on to, let's pray. Let's pray. If that's you today, I'm inviting you. If you stand up, if you want to come to this altar, you're welcome to come to the altar. But I want to pray for you today too. I want to pray. God help us. Lord, I know there are many people who love you, God, who desire a closer walk with you. And they've left that place of bondage. They say, I'm not doing those things. I'm not going back to those things, but there's still something in them. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's attitude, sometimes it's unforgiveness, it's bitterness, it's greed. There's just something that we're not willing to let go of. We have change taking place, but we're not willing to go the distance. God, I pray that you help us today. Just like we've been talking about on Friday nights. Lord, those who are here today who say, that's me. I need to go the distance. I've come a long way, but I haven't got everything God has promised for me. And now I know why. Holy Spirit, begin to reveal in our hearts what it is. What is the thing that's blocking us? What is the thing that's holding us back? What is the anchor that's tied around us? God, I thank you that you're revealing it to us, that we could just untie that thing and move forward. Lord, we reside in our hearts today that good is not good enough. We're all in, God. We want the fullness of your blessing, the fullness of your presence. And God, we're not going to settle. We're not going to be happy at halfway. We're not going to settle for a little bit of change, a little bit better. We want everything that you have promised us. And we see now, God, a trick of the enemy, a lie of the devil that seems to make sense because we see progress. But now we see that he allowed some progress only to keep us from the full promise. Father, reveal it, remove it, and help us on our way in Jesus' precious name. And the church said,
amen. Whew.
All right, we're more than halfway there, church. Go ahead, take a deep breath. Because the next two are tough. Anybody want to pause? Anybody need a break? No? We good? Okay. Whew. Moses says, no. I'm not buying into your plan, Pharaoh. So notice what Pharaoh does next. We go to Exodus chapter 10, verses 8 through 11. And the people are crying out to Pharaoh, let God's people go. These plagues are destroying us. The Bible says Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. And he said to them, go serve the Lord your God. Who are the ones that are going? Moses said, we shall go with our young and with our old, with our sons and our daughters, and with our flocks and our herds. We shall go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. And Pharaoh said to them, thus may the Lord be with you. If ever I let you and your little ones go, take heed, for evil is in your mind. Not so. Go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desire. They were driven out of Pharaoh's presence. Here's what Pharaoh just said to them. Men can go. You're leaving the women and children behind. When he adds to your burden and you keep pressing. When you tell the enemy, I'm not going to serve God in the land of bondage. When you come to realize that I'm not going to just go a little ways, I'm going to go full in. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to try to sever your family. He's going to start hitting your family. That's the next tactic of Pharaoh. All right, if I can't get you to shut up and stop this effort of trying to get to that place with God, if all the other things I did didn't work, I'm going to start messing with your family. And that's exactly what he'll do. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about right now. He is messing with your family. But I want you to understand why. Because you're pressing closer to the promise of God. And so what he starts doing is he'll try to cause division in your family. He might tell you, hey, you might make it, but they aren't going to. You're going to have to make a choice. No, you don't have to make no choice like that. My God. There are so many today that don't understand why all of a sudden their marriage is in jeopardy. Their children seem to be exhibiting behaviors that they would have never expected. Their siblings will have nothing to do with them. There's just dissension and division. I know I'm talking to some folks in here because it is quiet. Some of you came in with a smile on your face, but the fact of the matter is your home is a war zone right now. And I'm telling you why it is. Because Pharaoh knows that as soon as you start getting God inside of you, you are very close to getting to that place called Horeb. And so he's going to start messing with your family. He's going to start causing a division. Satan always divides and subtracts while God always multiplies and adds. He's going to do everything he can. I know I'm already talking to some folks. You know what? I'm not going to beleaguer this point. I just want you to stand to your feet. If God's messing with your family right now, if he's trying to cause a wedge in your family, if he's trying to take your children on a wayward path, if he's trying to destroy your marriage, if he is trying to sever your relationship with your parents or your siblings, if he's just messing with your family today, Father, in Jesus' name, before you ever instituted the church, before you instituted government, you instituted the family, God. We know it is a sacred and ordained organization. So I pray today, God. Father, you told Adam that he had all authority over his garden where his family resided. And to take that authority and subdue this snake that was coming. Father, in Jesus' name, we subdue every snake, every pharaoh, every attack of the enemy. Father, in Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Jesus over our families, over our marriages, over our children, over our siblings, over every facet of our family, God. In Jesus' name, let the peace of God rule in our homes. Father, I pray that you would encamp about our children. Holy Spirit, when they start going down the wrong path, when they start listening to the wrong voice, correct them. Direct them. Lord, if you have to, send someone to break it up so that they don't end up in that place. Protect them from unwise decisions, from ungodly people, from satanic plans. Father, I pray for marriages today. Jesus, when you entered this earthly ministry, you said that your priority was to preach the gospel to the poor, but the second thing, right after salvation, your second priority was to heal broken hearts. God, in Jesus' name, I pray today that you would heal the broken hearts that are in here, that you would begin to mend marriages, that you would heal, that you would strengthen. Father, we recognize today that it is a plan of the enemy to divide and conquer, but we stand united with the Holy Spirit of God and with our family members, declaring today that we are all going to the promise of God. Lord, your word said that this promise is to us, to our families, and to all who are afar off. God, we're not going without our children, without our spouses, without our whole family. Therefore, God, we stand today and declare that they are all a part of the blessing of God as we move forward. If you believe that, give God praise and say amen. Hallelujah. God, deliver our families in Jesus' name. Whew. Whew. Look at your neighbor and say, we're not leaving anyone behind. My God. One more thing Pharaoh tries to do. He tried to mess up and add burden. He tried to trick them to stay into bondage. He tried to deceive them into thinking that a little bit of change was good enough. He tried to destroy their families. It doesn't work. We come to Exodus chapter 10. There's a thick darkness all over the land of Egypt because of God's hand. The children of God still have light in their dwellings, but Egypt is in darkness. In verse 24, Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "Go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you." But Moses said, "You must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice them to the Lord our God. Therefore our livestock too shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we shall take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And until we arrive there, we ourselves do not know with what we shall serve the Lord." Here's what Pharaoh told them. "All right, listen. You don't have to stay in your place of bondage." Oh my God. Lord, let us hear this. "Okay, you don't have to stay in your place of bondage. I ain't going to put a greater burden on you. Go. And I'm not going to try to deceive you and tell you that a little bit's good enough. Go. Take your family with you. Go. But when you go, just don't make any sacrifice." Go ahead and go. Now, you know what? When we get through point number four, we think we got it made. Because we're heading to the place of promise. We're headed to the place of blessing. And we got our family with us. And we're all in and we're going completely. But Pharaoh knows something. If you go without a sacrifice, you aren't going to encounter God. Now you can say amen or oh me to this, but I'm going to give you the word of the Lord. The enemy understands that even if you leave the place of bondage, even if you don't carry your sins with you, even if your family and your children are following you, he can still destroy you. He can still control you if he controls your sacrifice. I'll give you an example. Job. Satan is unable to touch Job. He says, "Give me permission and I'll make Job curse you to your face, God." God said, "Go for it." Now we all know the story. We know that Job's children are killed. But before he kills Job's children, Satan does something else. He sends raiders to destroy all the oxen and donkeys. Then he sends fire to destroy the sheep. And he sends another group of raiders to steal all the camels. He destroys all the animals before he destroys the children. Why? Here is why. Because every day, Job took from his goods, that was his money, and he sacrificed unto God on behalf of his children. He said, "God, I'm giving you this to build your house, and I'm trusting you to take care of mine." Yes. And here's what happened. Though Satan has permission to afflict Job, he can't touch Job's kids because there's a hedge around those kids. Satan even says it. He says, there's a hedge around them. I can't touch them. It was Job's sacrifice unto God that built a hedge around those children. Satan couldn't touch those kids. He couldn't touch that family. Because of Job's sacrifice. You can go all in on the first four, but here's the deal. If you're not willing to sacrifice to God, you're still in control. All that's happened is you've traded control from Pharaoh to you. You still haven't got to the place where God is in control. Whew. I'm going to let that simmer for a moment. Pharaoh might not be in control, but now you are. We talked on Friday night about being dethroned that he may be enthroned. About me decreasing that he may increase. I'm telling you, if you want more of God, if you want a real encounter with the real God, worship is weakened without sacrifice. We see it in the church age today. People go to church not to give worship to God, but to get something out of the surface. There is no sacrifice of praise. I'm talking about sacrifice here. People will plug into nationally known speakers, but won't plug into the local church. People will leave one church because another church has a program they want. Instead of starting the program here, they'll go somewhere else that has it where they don't have to do the work. There is no sacrifice of servanthood. People go to church and get pumped up and get a feel-good message, but get offended if the word cuts them. There is no sacrifice of self. We live in a church age where people don't want to be bothered with tithing envelopes and building pledges. We live in a church age where people don't want ministries asking them to help in the nursery, in the kitchen, in the children's church. Jesus declared, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." But there has arisen a Christianity in which the only true giver is God. But I'm talking to a body of believers who say, no. I want the fullness of what God has for me. I want the fullness of God's blessing in my life. There has arisen a body of believers in this house who are like King David and say, I will not give the Lord that which costs me nothing. There has arisen a group of believers who say, look, I will not let someone else make my sacrifice. There has risen a body of believers like Job who say, I will pray for these people every morning by name. I will sacrifice whatever it takes to make sure God's provision and protection are upon them. There has arisen a body of believers like Moses who say, I'm not going to worship God in a place of bondage. I'm not taking my sins with me. My family's coming out with me, and my sacrifice is coming out with me. I'm going to give God all of me, and I'm going to give God what God desires of me.